Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Billy Craig from the band Brownsville Station is our very special guest. Everyone knows the band from Smoking in the Boys Room and still going strong. Billy Craig, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to have you. And if you don't mind, give us a little bit of your personal history and before we start talking about the band and how you got there. But give us your personal history. Where did you start out?
I started out, actually started doing gigs when I was in the eighth grade, of all things, and ended up, I had a little career in high school doing weddings, high schools, and parties outside, summer parties. We had a great time. So once that got done, I did a tour over in Scandinavia, overseas, and then I toured around the USA, ended up in San Diego recording an album, and that brought me back to Detroit, of all things. And we had a band that came real close to going huge, and we had a lot of labels and getting airplay all around the country, and that didn't happen, and I eventually ended up with Brownsville Station.
Well, you mentioned back in Detroit. Is that where it started for you, was Detroit?
Pretty much. I mean, when I think about it, that's when we really started, or I started being in projects that were writing songs and producing songs and getting them out, you know, for airplay, all that kind of stuff.
Well, where were you born? Where were you raised?
I was actually born in Big Rapids, Michigan, and I ended up in Detroit via San Diego.
Yeah, well,
I wish I was still in San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego, you can't find a much prettier city than that, and weather-wise, no. And all year round, just wonderful. But Michigan, listen, you know, Michigan's beautiful also, it gets cold, but Michigan has a rich history of music and the music business. I mean, forgetting about Motown and everything there, but a lot of folks from that part of the country, and if you can give us any kind of history on Detroit, Bob Seger, right, and Ted Nugent, are they Detroit people?
Oh yeah, Bob Seger, Ted Nugent, Rare Earth, Grand Funk Railroad, Kid Rock, Eminem. I mean, yeah, Detroit was a huge hub for rock and roll. Of course, the whole Motown, Berry Gordy, and, you know, all that happened. Really, Detroit's like the sleepy music town because you have L.A., you have New York, you have Nashville. And with Detroit, I think when Motown left Detroit, the label business left Detroit, and I think Motown was still in Detroit, I think it would be a force to be reckoned with. But the music and the talent never stopped. You know, it was still incredibly competitive and quite a place to be coming up in the rock and roll world.
Yeah. Let me remind folks that just might be tuning in or turning on their radios a little late. Billy Craig, guitarist Billy Craig, is our very special guest. And, you know, his work from Brownsville Station and just getting a little bit of his history here. And let me ask you, when you were in eighth grade and you were doing all these shows and so forth, who were you thinking that you would like to be like? Who were the bands that were... that you were looking up to? Was it local Detroit talent or local Michigan talent, or was it somebody else? Who were your favorites?
Well, you know, of course, you know, you had that local thing, but no, I was lucky enough to be from a college town, and we had big shows come in, and so a big one for me was Peter Frampton, and that with my brand new album, I did the single that we're going out that is being pushed to radio all around the country and overseas is called Frampton. And that's it's great that you brought that up, because Frampton, Doobie Brothers, Chicago, you know, all the great 70s bands, and especially guitar players like Ronnie Montrose, Pat Travers, and even bands like Rush, you know, all those. And a huge one from New York was Kiss. You know, it's a matter of fact, I got when I was in the eighth grade, maybe it was the seventh grade, I got Kiss Alive, double album.
Yeah, that changed the world for a lot of people. I mean, that was, when Kiss Alive came out, it really launched things. I'm a couple years behind you, you know, so I think I was nine when Kiss Alive came out or somewhere, and we saw them. My brother and I got to see them, and that was Kiss. Actually, it was Kiss Alive 2 when we got to see them. And you know, it was life changing for so many people. And you know, once I Was Made for Loving You came out, I think, you know, Kiss lost that early sense of the people that they had. And you know, I think a lot of people thought, oh, that was a sellout, and disco and so forth. And again, I'm more forgiving of Kiss than that, but that changed a lot. But what was there from all of those young Kiss fans that were made by Kiss? They were still music fans, and you know, at that point, you know, once I Was Made for Loving You came out, and you know, soon after there was Priest, and there was Maiden, and there was this whole new wave of metal, either from Britain or from here, and you know, they were selling records to people that I believe Kiss created, and as record buyers, and in so many ways, at least for myself. Your thoughts on all of that?
Well, you know, Kiss, I think when you look at the history of rock and roll, and what's interesting about it is all of those old bands toured together, and Brownsville actually did multiple shows with Kiss. But the thing is that every major city, New York, Detroit, and L.A., mainly had their certain bands that just came out and knocked the cover off the ball, and you can't really take away Kiss's longevity and legacy speaks for itself. I mean, there's you know, they've had that farewell tour that's been going on, you know, forever.
Yeah.
The forever farewell tour. but you know what, it's because it can. You know, it's the engine that just keeps going, and now I think they're starting to talk about actually finishing up. But
what a career!
But
yeah, I mean, what a career! No argument there. Again, let me remind folks: Billy Craig is the voice that you're hearing, and you know his work from Brownsville Station. Let me ask you about Frampton, not the man, but the album. That's something that's coming out now, or is it out?
Yeah, I have a brand new album. It's called Beyond the Pale. And it's 14 tracks. And what I did differently, this is my fifth album, actually. And it was something that I wanted to just do instrumentals. And it's all melodic, but pretty heavy stuff. But I did want to have something that I could approach radio with. And I kind of... it was one of those things in life where you kind of circle back and you start, you go, wow, what got me into it? Kind of like when you first got into broadcasting.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about what started me on the guitar. And that was, it was Ronnie Montrose. It was Peter Frampton and a lot of those guitar players. And there was a day when I was either 12 or 13 years old that I went and saw Frampton. I already had one of his albums that just blew me away. And it was one of those things that's when I decided I was already playing guitar, but that pretty much cemented the idea of trying to make it a career, you know, in the long run. So I worked pretty hard. And when I was doing the album, that's when I had that idea in my head, but he made the announcement that he was doing his final tour and the muscle disease that he has. And I was, one day I was just kind of messing with the chords from Show Me the Way. And what happened is I took the chords and I just kind of made it a little more jazzy, a little swingier. And this melody just kind of hit me over the head. It just, boom, and there it was. And I'm going, wow, this, and it's even sounded, it had just a certain flavor. And I said, I gotta name this Frampton. And, you know, kind of like, I think Taylor Swift had a song called Tim McGraw, yeah, and Eric Church had a song called Springsteen. And, but this is more of a tribute and a homage to Mr. Frampton. And he's a much better guitar player than people ever gave him credit for. And it's great to see that his career really kind of rebounded and he was able to do everything that he's been doing.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, he really is put together a second career, but now, you know, looking back, it's one long career and it's a very successful one. Listen, congratulations on all your success and good luck with the latest album. Give us a website or a social media site. And again, we're talking to Billy Craig from Brownsville Station. Give us a social media site or a website where people can follow along with what you're doing.
Sure. You can Google Billy Craig Beyond the Pale and you'll find all my information, BillyCraigMusic.us, or you can just find me on Twitter, Billy Craig on Twitter. I'm always on there and I'd love to have people visit there.
Listen, once again, congratulations and thank you very much for being here. And everyone, buy his latest. And his latest is, Billy, give the name again.
Billy Craig Beyond the Pale.
Beyond the Pale. Everyone get it. Get it on Amazon. Go to his website. And
iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon.
Anywhere they sell great music. And Billy, just thrilled to have you here. Hopefully I can get you for a follow-up one of these days. But Beyond the Pale, everyone, is Billy Craig's latest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.